And it all collides into this big, huge mess. I wouldn't have survived or would not have come out as well as I did without Michelle. And we realized a lot of people don't have a Michelle or a Mikkel and someone that they can help navigate this craziness with. So we're about community and for evidence-based information and helping people realize that no one's coming to help you figure this out. You have to figure this out on your own. You have to become informed so that you can advocate for the care and support you deserve and so that you can realize this is the best time, right? We used to think menopause was an end, just the friggin' beginning.
Hi, welcome to the Growth Mixtape Podcast, and I'm your host, Bob Mathers. We have one rule here. We're going to chase our curiosity way outside our comfort zones. The more uncomfortable and awkward, the better. We're going to talk to people you've never heard of doing jobs you didn't know existed. We're going to hear human stories about the things that connect us, what we can learn from one another, and what we can take away to apply to our own lives. These conversations might not seem to have a lot in common at first, but just like songs on a mixtape, we create something memorable and emotional. Today we talk to Michelle and Mikkel, two longtime friends and founders of the This Is Perimenopause podcast. Half the population will spend nearly a third of their life dealing with this. It's messy, confusing, and riddled with stigma. And they're on a mission to fix that. Michelle and Mikkel share their emotional and sometimes hilarious journeys through perimenopause. We explore the systemic failures that have left women vulnerable to misinformation, from the patriarchy and sexism to a lack of research and medical attention, and how people can take back control of their bodies and launch the best season of their life. Now, when I told friends I was talking about this on the pod, I got a few reactions from, why the hell would you do that, to, that's brave of you. And yes, it's uncomfortable, but not for the reasons people think. As someone that's married to a woman in her 50s, I'm embarrassed how little I know. I'm worried about what kind of husband people will think I am, what kind of judgments they'll make about my marriage. But that's the point. I think there are lots of reasons we don't talk about this, and this feels like a good start. So whether you're in it, coming up to it, supporting a partner through it, or just love weird conversations with powerful, inspiring women, I guarantee there's something here for you. So please enjoy Michelle and Mikkel. Well, Michelle and Mikkel, I can't tell you how excited I am to have you here. This is going to be fun.
I think so too. I think it's going to be really fun.
I think so too. You know, we've known each other a little while. We've never had a conversation like this. And it feels, I'm excited about it. I'm also a little bit more nervous about it than I have been for a conversation in a long time. And I've been like, what is it about this? It's not really a subject matter. I'm fine with talking about girl parts and all that stuff. But I think it's mostly that usually when I have a guest on and they're talking about something that I don't know anything about, I can research my way out of it. I'm going to just go prepare the hell out of this and then I can sound informed. And I just felt like that's kind of cheating. Like the whole point of this, I think that's what makes it interesting, is that there is nothing on earth I know less about than this.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, if you took all the conversations that my wife, who's in her mid-50s, you took all the conversations that her and I have had about this and you added them up, it would not be as long as the intro to this podcast.
Seriously?
So, yes.
Well, you guys need to start talking about it.
Well, shocking and not shocking, right? I think you've just defined a large part of what the challenge is and why we're doing what we're doing, right? Is nobody talks about this. Nobody knows about this. And it's not limited to husbands. That includes most medical professionals, most women. It's really crazy.
Yes.
Just how little is known about this.
Good. Okay. Well, that makes me feel a little better because, like I said, as the husband of a woman that's going through this, I really feel like I should know more about this. So there's a little bit of fear of sort of judgment around that. But anyway, I am excited about this. This is unlike any other conversation we've ever had. And thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Delighted to be here.
Now, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of all that stuff. I'm excited about it. I wanted to talk a little bit first, though, about how you got here. So you're both accomplished, successful, powerful women. You could be doing anything with your life when you decided to start a business. Why did you pick this?
Hmm. Michelle, do you want me to take this one?
Please, yeah.
This is usually my shtick when we're telling people. So it's summer of 2020 and the world has gone sideways. And Michelle had a very successful personal concierge company with employees in Waterloo and area, surrounding area. And COVID changed that dramatically. For a variety of reasons, I had resigned from my role. And we were texting with our other good friend we met in undergrad at Laurier. And Michelle and I were bemoaning the fact that we have all of these crazy perimenopause symptoms. We'd finally figured out why we were feeling the way we were, and we couldn't find anybody to help us. And there wasn't really any information. And we were complaining, and Jill, who is a geneticist and launched a very successful online genetic counseling company in the US and has since sold and is now the CEO of this merged entity and is doing very well, said, well, we can do something about that. So we sort of decided via text summer of 2020 that we were going to do something to help in this space. And through Michelle and her contacts, we learned about, or we knew about the Accelerator Center, but then learned about the AC Studio program, which is where we met you, Bob, as one of our mentors. And we applied to that, thinking we were going to build technology, because that's, if there's a problem today, that's what you do, you build technology to solve it. And we were a few months into the program, and we were doing the SNAP-P program with Steve and Rob. And they booked a meeting with us, and we were like, oh shit, we're already, like, it's 3 months in, we're already in trouble. Guess we should have known this was going to happen. And they on this meeting said, look, you're knocking it out of the park in terms of the testing. Your value, you are spot on with your value proposition based on the work we've been doing with you in the group. We don't think you should build technology. We think you should focus on building an online following. And that's what we decided to do. And so we have put together, or we've been working on for the few years we've been in the program now, a media platform to provide women with the information we wished we would have had and wish we'd had, you know, and it's helping us currently. We're still in perimenopause. So we have a website, newsletter, podcast, and we interview guests who are experts providing evidence-based information. And we also, it's not just the symptoms, because perimenopause is a phase of life where you are often racked with all of these symptoms, but you also have peak career demands, peak family demands, whether that's raising kids, whether it's a changing relationship with whoever your partner is, looking after aging parents, and it all collides into this big, huge mess. And so I wouldn't have survived or would not have come out as well as I did without Michelle. And we realized a lot of people don't have a Michelle or a Mikkel and someone that they can help navigate this craziness with. So we're about community and evidence-based information and helping people realize that no one's coming to help you figure this out. You have to figure this out on your own. You have to become informed so that you can advocate for the care and support you deserve, and so that you can realize this is the best time, right? We used to think menopause was an end, just the friggin' beginning.
That's amazing. So you've been doing this how long? Has it been maybe 3 years? Does it sound about right? Hey, it's Bob, and I'm taking the Growth Mixtape on the road in a series of keynote speeches inspired by the stories of my amazing guests. At their core, these signature talks are about how to get you and your teams off autopilot and stop settling for small incremental improvements. This isn't going to come from spewing business advice. My podcast is full of people that have done incredible things, and every one of them struggles with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, and the crippling fear of judgment that holds so many of us back. They've also found ways through it by rediscovering their creativity, their curiosity, and the confidence to do scary things. Imagine the power of bringing these vulnerable stories to life, live and on stage, to help you and your teams hit your targets, find your voice, and be the rock stars you are. Book me for your next event at bobmathers.ca. Now back to the show.
I guess like 2.5 in earnest, I would say.
When you look back on that, and maybe as a couple of founders that were starting out with this idea, and you look and what you thought you were going to be building, and now looking back, what's the thing that surprised you most?
I would say for me, one of the things that I'm still baffled by is the sheer scale of this whole time of like this topic and this community, and half of the population is going to go through, if they live long enough, half the population will go through this transition. And yet we don't have the research. We don't have the information. Like, everyone is struggling. You said we were successful, accomplished women. Well, there are millions of successful, accomplished women out there that get blindsided by this. 75% of women don't know that perimenopause is coming, and it hits women as early as their mid-30s. And it's baffling how there's no information out there for us and that there's no preparation.
Yeah, when you talk about everything else that's happening in your life when you're going through this, how is this different than your mothers went through it, do you think?
Well, a couple of things. I think our mothers were a generation where they were actually able to take hormone therapy for some of their symptoms, which can be horribly debilitating. And then in 2002, the Women's Health Initiative was halted, and the way in which they disseminated the information was not the way things are normally done. And the information was sensationalized. And overnight, I think the number is about 80% of women stopped taking their hormone therapy. So they were ripped off of it and forced to struggle and deal. So I think that's a little bit different. But certainly the stigma was even more of a thing than it is today. So you just didn't talk about this at all. So I think they were very, very isolated and alone. I think we're in a better situation because people are talking about this. There is information now. I mean, since we started this, there's been a lot that's come online. There's also now a lot of disinformation and misinformation that we need to sift, that everybody needs to sift and sort through and be careful of. Certainly they were more alone and more in the dark than we are today, I think.
It's interesting you say that. I was having a conversation with somebody, and I forget what we were talking about exactly. But one of the things I've often thought about when I'm thinking about, you know, the practices that a lot of us talk about around, you know, whether it's gratitude or mindfulness or the way that we take care of our bodies or meditation. And I always think, man, it doesn't seem like our parents ever spent any time worrying about this. And the aha moment that I came to recently is that at least my parents, they worked their ass off until they retired, and then they died 5 years later. They drank like fish. They didn't take care of their bodies. They never exercised a day in their life. And I realized it's a really low bar. And so I guess I was thinking about, like, yes, our parents going through this. Like, yeah, that's not... I'm going to stop that being my frame of reference, because I think we could do a lot better than that.
Absolutely. And now I'm in the thick of it with aging parents, and yeah, like, I hope and pray, like, I now know so much more. Maybe they thought they knew a lot too, but I feel like I now know that there are certain things I can be doing today that will make it better for me when I'm their age. I hope, because it's astounding to see how quickly certain members of my family have gone from, you know, pretty independent, robust lifestyle to incapacitated. And it's horrible. And I don't want to be in this situation when I'm that age. And I definitely don't want my son to have to deal with what we're dealing with right now. It's a lot. When you know better, you do better, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I also think, though, that my parents probably sat around at my age saying, I'm never going to be a burden to my family. I'm going to be different. And every generation has been saying this forever. But I do think something feels different about, like, we're doing something about it. Before we get into even defining what some of these things are, I know I work with a lot of founders, entrepreneurs. I know how hard it is. When you look back on 2.5 years you've been doing this, are there times where you've just thought, yeah, I can't do this anymore? And how did you get through that?
Daily.
Yeah, every day.
We still do. Oh my God.
It's funny. When we decided to start this, we had a lot of people say, do not do this with your close friends. This is a bad idea. Do not do this. And it's one of the bigger motivators for me, because I get, you know, we're best friends, but you know, life is life. And so we didn't really talk as much as either of us would have liked. Now, you know, I look forward to my week because I know I'm going to get to work with Michelle and talk with Michelle. And I think we've done a really good job of navigating. You know, we disagree and it's not always smooth, but we've done well because we know that no matter what, our friendship is the most important. So if it was, you know, between this business and our friendship, we would choose the friendship. And so I think that's why it's worked. So for me, it's getting to work with Michelle. That has been a big motivator. And I think, you know, we're still not making any money and we hope to at some point, you know, and these things take a lot longer than everybody says that they do. And we've realized that now, but the number of people who send us a note and say, oh my God, thank you. I thought I was going crazy. I had no idea. Or I'm so glad it's not just me. Or we were at the National Menopause Show and we had people we don't know that we haven't cajoled into listening, come over and say, oh my God, I just wanted to meet you. I love your podcast. It's so great to see you in person. I mean, that is, I don't think there's any bigger motivator than that.
I think too, like, you know, when you think about turning 50, we started this company just before we turned 50. And I feel like when I was younger, I thought when I was 50, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, this is kind of the end. Like I'm slowing down. I'm going to retire. And to be starting something new, I'm not going to lie, I've been the imposter syndrome, the fear, like I got comfortable. I knew what I was doing. I knew how to do everything I was doing. And to start something like this at that stage of life, it's pretty empowering. And it's amazing to know that, like, hey, I can do something new. I can learn something new today and I don't have to be perfect at it, but there's still so much left in life. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. I really like the way you say that. In a lot of ways, it kind of sums up what even this podcast is about. And I've got friends that are retiring and slowing down and planning on buying a place and golfing for the remaining days. And I just feel like, and I've talked to other people too, just feel like all of my experiences up until now have just been amassing a whole bunch of different skills and capabilities that now is my chance to point them in the direction that I've always meant to go. And you're right. I love the way that you articulated it. You said it better than I ever could. I love that.
I love what you just said. I think I too, like, I have all these new ideas for new podcasts and I just have, I don't know. I think that there's so much coming our way. So it's exciting.
So you've touched on a couple things I want to circle back to around the menopause and perimenopause, and in terms of just the why it's so difficult to get access to this information and support and even understand what's going on in your body. But before we do that, can we do a little bit of perimenopause for dummies here and just tell me what that means, what menopause is? Is there a post-menopause? Like, what are we, just help me with some of the basics here.
Okay. So menopause is one day and it is the 1 year anniversary of your final menstrual period. There is no test. I mean, doctors can test your FSH levels, but really that is the marker. Postmenopause is everything after that. And leading up to menopause, your hormones start to change. And that, as Michelle said earlier, can happen, start as early as mid-30s. And it can last, you know, I think the average is like 4 to 8 years. We're pushing a hard 10.
Yeah.
And it's that chaos that causes all of these weird, wonderful symptoms that can really hit you hard. That's it in a nutshell.
All of that is news to me. But particularly the, where you said, Mikkel, so menopause is a day. So I think what a lot of people talk about menopause, they're kind of talking about perimenopause, right?
They are. And menopause is used to define everything, but technically perimenopause is that time leading up to and including that 1 year after your final menstrual period.
But also symptoms can continue into postmenopause. So a lot of symptoms will get better. And it also, not every symptom is guaranteed to go away. Some women continue to have hot flashes. The symptoms are sort of peri and postmenopause.
Just circling back to a couple of things you said earlier, what's at the root cause of the lack of support out there? Is it patriarchy? Is it stigma? I imagine it's a whole bunch of things.
It is. It's a variety of things. Patriarchy, certainly. Right. We, you know, it's known and studied now that women's concerns often get dismissed. Women were basically excluded from clinical trials after an issue with a drug that was given to deal with morning sickness way back when. And the National Institutes of Health in the U.S. actually mandated that women needed to be included in clinical trials in 1993.
Yeah.
And so there just really isn't a lot of data. And what we do know, or how we manage, you know, health concerns for women, is they're just considered smaller men when we're not. We have a completely different reproductive system and things function differently. So there's not enough research. Mm-hmm. The other thing that really has made things challenging is one of the largest clinical trials ever conducted, called the Women's Health Initiative. They were setting out to determine whether hormone therapy helped in the prevention of disease. And they had set a marker, a very low benchmark, to determine whether it caused cancer, particularly breast cancer. Anyway, so they followed all these women for a long period of time. And at one point in 2002, they halted the study immediately and sounded this alarm and said, oh my God, there's a risk of breast cancer. And they said there was a 26% increase in the risk of breast cancer, which, relatively speaking, sounds awful. In absolute terms, it didn't meet the statistically significant threshold. So it was a big overstatement. There's some great information that's come from that study, but how that information was initially disseminated was very flawed and very inappropriate, I would say. And you can't put the genie back in the bottle. So headlines around the world: estrogen causes breast cancer, right? So what happened was we ripped everybody off the hormone therapy. And then what we've been told from some medical professionals, then the view was in medical school, well, there's no point covering this because there's nothing you can do. So menopause, perimenopause, the symptoms, how to address them, that is not taught in medical school. So now we have all of these medical professionals that actually don't know anything about this or really understand it, even when their focus is women's health. So it's dismal, frankly. It's getting better now. People have been writing books. There have been people on social media, medical professionals, you know, taking up the cause and talking about evidence-based information. And in fact, you can take hormone therapy. It is safe depending on your risk profile and so on and so forth. And those risks, first purported to be horrible in 2002, are actually not accurate. So it's a lot of different things, but a lot of big things that make it that most of us feel unwell, don't really know why. We go to our doctors, they dismiss us, and we sputter through it and or try to find alternative treatments, which, you know, may or may not work, may or may not be harmful, usually cost a lot of money. And that's why, again, we started This Is Perimenopause, because we all need and deserve better.
Can I add something too? That was amazing, Mikkel, of course. But I want to say, you know, it's not just about our health. There's a bigger problem. It's about ageism and how women age and how women are allowed to age. Men are allowed to get wrinkles, to go gray. Some dude said that a hot dad bod was a thing. And now, like, that's okay. You guys can let yourself go and get a beer belly and that's fine. But hey, women, you need to look like you did when you were 30, and you need to have dewy, glowy skin without wrinkles. And it's an impossible standard. And then also tied to the stage of life is that we've been told that once we're no longer able to reproduce, then we're kind of useless. And it's unfair. And there's just so much that needs to change in this space for women. And that's what we're doing. We're helping to change that.
Yeah, the kind of the sexism in it is hard to escape, right? Like you think, well, there is a point in women's lives when they can't make babies anymore. Men can do it for longer. And they realize, well, the biggest problem with that is that, you know, men can't get boners anymore. So they created a pill to fix it. And that was it. And now Mick Jagger can have kids when he's 90 years old. And it was that easy.
That easy. It's like, seriously, there's a stat out there that the drug companies spend 6 times more money on erectile dysfunction than they do on endometriosis. And I don't know if you know much about endometriosis. It's like debilitating. It is so extremely painful. It is unfathomable what these women are going through. And yet we're not spending money to make it better. It takes years sometimes, like 6 to 10 years, for women to be diagnosed with endometriosis. And in the meantime, they're living with extreme pain. And these men, they've got their boners back.
Yeah. The biggest problem is that the boner lasts 4 hours. So we need to put another $1 trillion into figuring out how to make it only last 20 minutes and then take 10 minutes off and then 20 minutes again.
Right.
Right.
I'm sure it's being well looked after.
So you've had some women on with some pretty powerful stories. What are the ones that really stuck with you?
I think the one that always jumps to mind for me is we had Trish Barbato from the Menopause Foundation of Canada on, and she and Janet Coe, very successful women, both had big career goals and were well on their way, and then were completely blindsided by symptoms, perimenopause symptoms. They didn't know what was going on. As Trish says, she went to her doctor and got a pat on the head and sent off. And heartbreaking. So her goal was to be the CEO of a publicly traded company, essentially. And when that opportunity presented itself, she had to turn it down because she couldn't function. So when they realized what was going on, they co-founded the Menopause Foundation of Canada, again, because there's not enough information, no support. And they had engaged Ernst & Young, I think it was, to look at what the economic impact is of unmanaged menopause symptoms. And the number they came up with on an annual basis for the Canadian economy alone is $3.5 billion. That is lost every year in the Canadian economy because women don't have the information, the resources, and the care they need to, again, not get special treatment, just have solutions, understand what the solutions are so that they can implement those and get on with it and contribute the incredible amount of experience, information, wisdom, right, that they have, not just in their work, but in their communities, their families. And we're missing out on all of that, because a lot of us are saying, no, can't take that promotion, or I need to quit, or I'm just going to work part-time. As a recovering banker in particular, that just really pisses me off. And it's just so staggering to me that it's 2024 and we're just now figuring this out and realizing that this is a problem. And that $3.5 billion is a very conservative estimate, by the way. It's probably, in reality, a lot bigger number.
So in that same vein, the number of guests that we've had on our podcast that were plunged into menopause overnight because of a cancer treatment or a hysterectomy, not given any information that this was coming, and had to deal with that, which is horrifying, but also then turned that into a mission to change things. So this seems to be a recurring theme in our podcast, is that these women who you think, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I would just be like, lay down and I'm done. And we've had guests that have taken this moment in time and written a book and created an AI app and created technology to help women with like vaginal dilators or created menopause and cancer. Like these women are taking their trauma, I don't want to say trauma, but taking this diagnosis and they're turning it into a mission to make change for other women. And I just find it's amazing and very inspiring.
Yeah. And when you look back on the podcast, you're what, like 30 episodes or so in?
Amy?
I'm going to check right now.
That's producer Amy, who's just peeled back the curtain and has made, she's that disembodied voice from the behind the curtain.
And Amy happens to be the producer of both our podcasts, which is amazing. That's why we all sound so good always. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, guys. You're so awesome. So we all have to do a little mental math here. We've got 11 episodes in season two, and I think it was 26 or something.
Yeah, so 30-ish, 40.
We're going to go well over 30. They've been doing it for a year and a half. Yeah, the guests keep getting interesting and more varied, and Bob has been doing it for almost a year in about 3 weeks, so there you go.
Oh,
that's my anniversary's coming up. I didn't even realize that.
How many podcasts are you in?
About 30.
About 30 as well. Nice.
Yeah. And when you look back on that, how is the podcasting thing? I don't know. Has it gotten easier in some ways, harder in others?
I think it's gotten easier. I think we've gotten more comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we're more comfortable because we realize that just being us is actually the key to all of this. It's disgusting that it takes 50 years to right. figure that out, but I think we're finally starting to figure that out.
Letting our freak flags fly.
Yeah.
Letting our freak flags fly. Exactly. I don't want to speak for you, Michelle, but I feel like my comfort level has certainly increased. And it's funny, Bob, when you talked about, you know, at the beginning, needing to research the shit out of something to make sure that you know, that was my, I felt like I had to know all the answers before I actually got on the podcast, right? I'm a recovering banker and my husband's a lawyer, right? So the whole never ask a question you don't already know the answer to, right? Blah, 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 right? So I was like, argh. And Amy was like, you don't, Mikhail, just like, you're here to find out and learn. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You're right. My God, that's just so much better. Yeah, I'm really comfortable with, I'm learning as we go, and that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm. Yeah, learning alongside our listeners. So much fun. I don't know if you have a ton of fun, but like, it's the highlight of my week, my month, whatever. I love it. And I want to do more, Amy. But I think we're at the point now where we can start having, we've kind of been avoiding some of the maybe more difficult conversations. There's a lot of hot topics when it comes to menopause. And I feel like we've been avoiding getting a target put on our back. And I think now we're maybe, Mikhail, I might be stepping out, but I think we're maybe getting more comfortable and ready to take on some of those hot topics and some of those more controversial topics that our listeners need to know that there are, it's maybe not black and white, and that there's, you know, different areas here, and they need to know all the options so that they can make the best decision for themselves and for their health. And I think we're ready to kind of step off and jump into that next level.
Why do you think you were afraid of those hot topics before?
You don't want to be wrong. The imposter syndrome, right? Can I actually handle having the difficult conversation or being challenged or challenging someone? Mm.
And there's a lot of mean people in this space.
And there's a lot of really mean people in this space. Well, there's mean people everywhere, yeah. Right? It's social media. And you know, that's one of the other great things about the AC Studio program at the Accelerator Center and the mentors, right, is we got a lot of advice to just run with scissors, right? Stop waiting for everything to be perfect because it's not going to be. And you just need to do this. And you are going to be wrong and you need to be wrong, right? And that's, you know, if you talk to anybody who's had any degree of success, almost guaranteed they will tell you that a big part of that success was failing. So, right, we need to learn to take more risks. And unfortunately, we just weren't at that point when we started this. But to your point, Michelle, I think we are now.
Yeah. And in fact, it took Amy a lot of like, Amy was kind of one that pushed us into the podcast. I love the idea of a podcast, but it was like way overwhelming. And Amy kept saying like, you need to tell more people about what you're doing. You need to do this. You need to do this. So thank you, Amy.
Yes. Thank you, Amy.
Oh, well, my take on it was that you were doing great things and you had great information, but it was hiding in the website that nobody knew about and you had to put a voice to it. And when I tell people about your podcast, I say that you're just regular women. You're not doctors and you are just going out and finding things that people want to learn about and bringing it to them in a way that they want to hear about rather than being talked to by a medical professional, perhaps. And so I think it's been a really good journey. And I mean, when we first started, you talked about some of the polarizing voices in the space. And I think tackling those when you're trying to learn to podcast on the schedule that you're on was probably the right choice. And now that you're comfortable with that, the next challenge comes. And I'm excited to see who you talk to in the future.
Yeah, me too.
That's really inspiring because I think when we're kind of afraid of being wrong, I don't know about you, but there was like, okay, this is the part of me that I will show. And that sort of grew over time. And I realized that if people are coming to hear some perfectly polished journalist talk about just the facts, nothing about the facts, they're not my customer. They're not my listener. But the beautiful thing that happens when you sort of slowly bring more of yourself to it is that the people that do come are, they're your people, man. Like they're going to love you and they're going to talk about you. And it's this idea of you don't need a million followers, you just need 1,000 true fans. And the only way you're going to find them is just admit that you don't know things and you might be wrong and yeah, bring people along that journey with you. So I love the way you said that.
And I love your podcast, Bob. I listen frequently and the questions you ask are so insightful, but you're always like, I don't know about this. That's the whole premise of what you're doing. It's such a cool concept.
Well, thank you. Do you have any men listening to your podcast?
Jason.
Yeah, my husband.
My wife does not listen to many of my podcasts, I will say. She got the roundup. She's like, hey, look, you're just below Mel Robbins or something. I'm like, yeah, well, way below.
No, we don't have a ton. I think Amy, again, would know the stats, but I think it's mostly like 95% women.
But fascinating, though, when we're doing a pitch or we have a showcase day or whatever, the dudes are the ones that want to talk to us. So there's definitely interest. But again, I think to your points you made earlier about being nervous and like, it's a scary thing for guys to wade into. And yeah, we get that, but we're looking to bring them along too, and we're going to be interviewing the husband of one of our guests in the context of how do you support, you know, someone going through this.
And the reason we're interviewing this gentleman is he was the one that said to her, "Hey, babe, I think you might be going through perimenopause." Like she had no idea; it wasn't on her radar, and he started realizing that maybe something wasn't quite the same. And he started doing some research and he was the one that notified her, like, this is a thing and this is what might be happening to you right now. And here's some solutions, which is amazing. We all need this guy in our lives. But so I think it's going to be a really incredible podcast. I'm excited for it.
Well, yeah, he's making the rest of us look bad. Like in that, on the list of things that I would never in a million years say to my wife, even if I thought it is, hey, I think you're going through menopause. Yeah, why don't you just pick your clothes off the driveway and go live in a basement apartment somewhere?
yeah, risky. Yeah. Agreed.
Depending on the day, yeah, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. I had a lot of rage in my symptoms. Yeah.
What do you wish husbands or maybe partners knew about this?
I think just, well, one, that it exists.
Yeah.
Michelle mentioned rage was a big symptom of hers, right? And so it's also not fair for your male partner to show up and you're throwing things across the kitchen because the ketchup bottle was put away in the wrong space or whatever. You know, it's something really irrational and crazy. And then there's no context for it, right? And that's part of why the stigma exists, because then the behavior becomes shameful, right? And it is not understood. Like, this should be taught to everyone in school, along with sex education, which needs to be improved as well. And it needs to not be hushed, whispered, stigmatized, because it still is today.
One thing you mentioned earlier was how this could really be an opportunity to enter a really exciting sort of phase of your life. And I just wanted to come back and ask if you could expand on that. What's so great about this?
For me personally, when I figured out what was going on and I got the help that I needed, not only do I feel better now, I think I am wiser because of the struggle, perhaps, right? I have more information. Because of launching this company, this effort with Michelle, I'm realizing, oh yeah, like there's so much more to learn. And actually being outside of my comfort zone is where I thrive. You know, I used to think that all of my big accomplishments would have happened by now in life. And I am now uber confident that I am not even close. And part of it is too, a lot of women say you get, especially once they've achieved menopause. And I'm going to be crass because that's just how I am, but you really have no more fucks to give, right? You stop caring about what everybody else thinks and you realize that you have spent most of your life doing what everybody else thought was a good idea. You get to this point and you think, yeah, I'm done with that. And the confidence and energy that comes from that realization, I think for me so far has been really significant.
What she said.
Wow. I love that. Yeah. And so if somebody was wanted more information, like where's the first place you would send them for somebody that maybe thought they were having symptoms or just wanted to learn more about this, other than the This Is Perimenopause podcast, of course.
Understand what your symptoms are when they're happening and explore what either on our podcast or on the Menopause Society or the Menopause Foundation of Canada website and get the information and then bring that to your doctor.
But don't get your information from TikTok, please.
Yeah, like do not get
seriously. There's a lot of women, unfortunately, that and don't get me wrong, TikTok, social media, all of that is great for awareness of the issue, and we need that awareness at this point. But if you're going there for your medical information, it's not a gold standard. It's not necessarily evidence-based. There's a lot of misinformation out there. So just, you know, take what you hear on social media with a grain of salt and go find those evidence-based sites like the Menopause Foundation or the Menopause Society. There's menopause societies across the globe. So whatever's appropriate, go check those out resources. Check those resources out.
So one last thing, what are you most excited about now?
What are we most excited about now, Michelle?
I'm excited to kind of go into some of the hot topics and do some deeper dives into some of those quote unquote controversial topics, because I really feel like, and we've talked about this a lot, women need all the information so that they can make the best decision for them.
Agreed. And I think to some of the collaboration opportunities that we've already had and the ones that we are just now seeing as possibilities are really exciting. So for example, we had the opportunity to meet a medical provider through one of our podcast guests, and she and two other medical doctors have opened a bricks and mortar women's clinic with a focus on menopause and all the things associated with that in Toronto. And it's called Lume Women's Health, L-U-M-E. And they graciously agreed to collaborate with us. So they're coming on once a week and answering a listener's question, right? So whether that's, you know, does it matter where you put your estrogen patch, or a family member had breast cancer, can I still take hormone therapy? They're coming in and not giving medical advice, but giving you the information that then you can take to your medical provider and say, hey, I understand this. Can I give this a try, or is this an option for me? So I'm excited for more collaborations like that, particularly the opportunity for maybe some lobbying and advocacy, right? And if we can work together with other people in this space, maybe we can actually move that needle a little bit.
Yeah, you've given me so much to reflect on. I'm so grateful for this conversation. One of the things that stands out is just as somebody that's known you for a couple of years and as a couple of, like I said, kind of people starting out with this business a couple of years ago, sort of the confidence and the just the general badassery that's sort of coming out of your...
Thank you.
Yeah, like it's really remarkable. And I do think it's, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people go through. We've framed it around this conversation around perimenopause and this thing that's going to take up a third of your life. But it's amazing to watch people come in to something and not admitting that they don't know a lot about it. And now I think a lot of people would look at you and be like, yeah, they're like entrepreneurs. Like they know so much more than I do. And how could I, if they can do it, I can do it too. I don't know. There's just something really inspiring about that, how quickly that can happen when you just ideally have somebody to lean on, but also just admit that you don't need to have all the answers. You can run with scissors and it's going to be messy. And look how far we've come in 2 years.
And it's supposed to be messy, right? I think that's the key, right? It's supposed to be messy. That and the realization that no one actually knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And thank you, Bob, and to you and all the other mentors that we've had for giving us that permission and giving us that confidence to run with scissors and be messy. So we really appreciate all that you've been doing for us.
Well, thank you. And I do hope this is one that my wife listens to. I didn't finish your answer, but Michelle, when you asked me, she's, you know, it's a funny thing about having a podcast is that sometimes I leave little Easter eggs about different friends or conversations I've had to see if they've actually listened. Because until Spotify one day tells me exactly who's listening, I can only guess by the questions that I get asked. And sometimes I'll leave something and my wife will be, oh yeah, I listened to that. I'm like, you didn't listen. Because if you listened, then you would have asked me a question about that. Anyway, I'm sure that she will listen to this. Jill, I love you with all my heart. You're a very busy woman. You keep this house running all by yourself. So
well done.
So you're excused if you can't squeeze every single episode into your day.
But this is a good one, Jill.
But this is at the top of the list for sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for doing this. It's been awesome.
Thank you for having us. So fun.
Yeah, super fun.
The Growth Mixtape Podcast with Bob Mathers is produced by Bespoke Projects. Music by Je M'appelle Walter Cronkite. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to follow and rate us. When you do this, it helps to raise our podcast profile so that more people can find us. If you want to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn using the link in the show notes.